said, hey, hey, how you doing? Time for a brand new day. Get up, get out, let's get happy. Start your day with Cliffo and Gabby.
Okay.
This is Cliffo and Gabby's Ask Anything on Townsville's Hit 103.1.
All right, for Ask Anything today, something a bit different, because today is Are You Okay Day, an important day when we're all encouraged to turn to our friends and just ask them, are you doing okay? Because there's so many people in this country who aren't, including this guy who wasn't at one point in his life. John Brogdon is the chairman of Lifeline and the former New South Wales opposition leader who, at the height of his political career, made an attempt to take his own life. And he's not alone. 9 Australians every day are successful in doing that. 6 men and 3 women. It is an epidemic in this country. Mm. And to talk about it on Are You Okay Day, John Brogdon's on the phone right now. Morning, John. Thanks for your time.
Hello, guys. How are you?
We're good, thank you. When it comes to Are You Okay Day, though, John, how often are you turning to your friends? Because I know it's one day in the year, but it's kind of a reminder to do it every day, isn't it?
It sure is, Gabby, and it's a particular reminder when you're worried about somebody. You know, we all have friends and work people we work with and people we know, maybe through, you know, surf clubs or sporting clubs, whatever it might be. And if you're worried about them, if something's gone wrong, maybe they've lost their job or their relationship's fallen to pieces, or you know, they're facing some difficulty at work, and you notice that their behaviour's changing, that's the time you need to reach out and ask, are you okay? And it's an important question to ask. And sometimes you've got to ask it of a person 2 and 3 times to break through, because we're pretty good as Australians saying, yeah, mate, I'm fine, no problems. When, you know, no, are you okay? Is everything all right? Are you okay? And the same with suicide, you know, are you feeling suicidal? As challenging as that is to ask a person, you've got to ask the question and draw out the answer, the honest answer from them.
John, let's have a look at your story. Tell us, what role has depression played in your life?
Well, I live with depression. So I'm 50 years old. I live with depression. I also live with suicidal ideation, which means in my background, in my mind, suicide is there, if you like, as an option all the time. So I need to manage that. So it's a lot of people talk about how it's important to have people with lived experience, which is people who've experienced mental health directly and indirectly. And I'm beginning to say we need people who have living experience, because I just didn't have a problem 14 years ago that went away. I've got it now, if you like, for my entire life. I've probably had depression for probably from my teenage years, if I really went back and looked at it. But I was very good at pushing it away and ignoring it. And then in politics, I was very good at, you know, showering and shaving and at a certain time doing all of the political stuff you do in front of the cameras, if you like, and in front of people and in parliament and all those sorts of things. But behind the scenes, I was very depressed. But back then, I didn't understand it. I wasn't aware of it. It sadly for me, it took a crisis that led to me trying to take my own life for me to become more self-aware about all of this. And so now I live with it, and I do my best to live with it. I take medication. I see my psychiatrist pretty regularly. I try and get more sleep than I used to. Sleep's important to me. Exercise is important. I'm not talking about, you know, CrossFit champion Australia. I'm talking about getting out and going for a walk, you know, a proper walk, or getting to the gym a couple of times a week just to keep your health up. But equally, I could have just described to you that I'm a diabetic, I have to watch what I eat, I have to make sure I'm fit and all, and take some medication and things like that. So one of my big objectives, you know, my post-political public life objective, is that we think about and we talk about and in our hearts we feel about mental health in exactly the same way we talk about and we think about and we feel about physical health.
I know that's one thing you say too, John, is if someone comes to you or you go to a friend and you outright ask them, are you having thoughts of suicide, you say treat them as you would treat someone who's having a heart attack. Dial 000, call Lifeline, do something immediately to help that person.
Well, and don't walk away. You know, you wouldn't walk past somebody in the street having a heart attack. You wouldn't let one of your friends have a heart attack and you walk away. And you do something. Now, you don't have to be a heart specialist to do something. You know, you might know a bit of first aid, but at the very least, you're going to call 000. So if you're really worried about somebody and you say to them, are you feeling suicidal? And they say yes. I mean, that is very confronting. But you hang on to that person, as you said, you ring 000, you take them to the nearest hospital, you get on the phone to Lifeline, put it on speaker, and you talk through the situation. And as confronting that is, I mean, every bone in your body, I'm sure for you guys and the listeners, every bone in your body thinks, I could never ask that question, or why not be putting the thought in their mind? And please understand you won't. Please understand what you've done has probably saved their life.
Back when you did have an attempt on your life, John, would it have made a difference if someone had have asked you, are you okay?
Yes. In one sense, mine was a little different to many because it was very public, you know, being, a very well-known politician in New South Wales, I guess the alternative premier. I've been doing that job for 3.5 years. And when the shit hit the fan for me, because it was so public, it added an entire extra level of stress. Now, I'm not complaining about that because I went into politics and that's the game in terms of the public life. But the good news is, following that, I received the most incredible outpouring, my wife and I, the most incredible outpouring of sympathy and empathy. And we got 10,000 letters and gifts and cards from people all around Australia. And I'll share with you my most treasured letter. And it was a guy from the Northern Territory, not Northern Territory, not quite Townsville, but, up north. And it was a great letter. So my name's John Brogdon. This bloke wrote a letter and he said, Mr. Ogden, comma, we all make mistakes. That's why pencils have rubbers on the other end, full stop.
Oh.
And it's a great letter because it sends the message, which is, yes, we make mistakes, but there's no mistake so bad that requires you to take your own life. And my message on a day like today for people who are feeling stressed, who are feeling suicidal, who are in a dark place, is that there's more to live for than to die for.
John, I lived in New South Wales when you were in the running to be Premier, your opposition leader, and when you made that attempt on your own life. And I remember being hit with just such sadness. It was just such an awful thing. And you've taken that negative in your life. And it's still there in chatting to you today. But, yeah, you're really working to turn that into a positive. And it's
helping others.
Yeah, it's a really admirable thing. But, yeah, such a great chat.
Hold on. Could you vote for me? That's what I want to know.
I did.
You weren't 18 yet.
I can't even remember who the other guy was. So I think I did.
I'm only checking.
Were you really a voting age?
I think I was just a voting age. But let's not talk about my age. Let's thank this guy, John Brogdon, the chairman of Lifeline Australia. Like you said, John, that phone number for Lifeline, 13 11 14, or lifeline.org.au. John Brogdon on Are You OK Day. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Get up with Cliffo and Gabby on Hit 103.1.
This is Gabby's Diary. Oh, she's sweet but
a psycho. Last week, a new character was introduced to my high school diary. We're heading back to 2004, and this is a legit excerpt from my diary written in my own little handwriting with metallic pen.
Asked me before, they're like, are these legit?
You can't
and
make
I say,
this stuff up.
We should put a photo of you in the diaries online or something one time.
Yeah.
I see them. They're here.
They're legit. They're real.
Yeah.
They are. Sometimes
you can actually see Gabby's handwriting get better throughout the years.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, so this time around, we're talking about Sasha. So he was introduced in the last diary.
Yep.
He goes to a different boys' school compared to my girls' school.
Yeah.
But we see each other occasionally. We've known each other since primary school. And he is very keen. Last diary, he asked me out and I said no. So
He likes the G-dog.
He likes the Gabby. Yes, so we're heading back to the 22nd of the 12th, 2004.
Dear Diary, well, guess what? I'm now going out with Sasha. He asked me out again and I couldn't bear reject him for a third time. But now I'm really worried about what people will think because he's not one of the cool guys. I have no idea what to get him for Christmas either. I promised I wouldn't go out with anyone before Christmas for this reason. Also, I'm a little worried because I have no urge to kiss Sash, which isn't a good sign. Anyway, I saw Bill the other day because Chloe was staying over, so he came over with Ross, but Mum said they couldn't come in and we couldn't go over there. So they came back at like midnight and knocked on the window, but the dog started barking and Mum was still up, so they ran away. Lol.
Lol. Doesn't sound like I'm really into Sasha, does
no,
it?
No, not at all.
I don't seem that keen. I mean, it's like, ask three times and finally I'll say yes.
Well, the fact that you just said yes because you couldn't bear just to say no. You just want to put up with that. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Oh, fine.
Not what solid relationships are built on, is it?
Get up with Cliffo and Gabby. Now on Hit 103.1.
Have an important question I'm going to pose. So, okay. And I want you to concentrate. So close Facebook, shut Instagram. It doesn't matter what Kendall Jenner's wearing for a couple of minutes. I need your undivided.
I'm shocked you know her name.
Attention.
Well done on that
say
reference.
It so much. But I want to put this to you and to everyone in Townsville to get involved on 13, 12, 16. And the question is as follows. Whose job is it to change the toilet roll, like to update and put a new toilet paper in? Is it the person who empties the roll and finishes the roll?
Uses the last square.
Uses the last square.
Yeah.
Or is it the next person to come along and use the toilet?
No, it's the person who finishes it.
You think
that's so? If you finish it, you replace it.
Okay, you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
And here's why.
Hmm.
So we had an incident just over the last couple of days with my wife and I where I got the call down the hallway. You know
oh,
the call.
I know the call.
You know the call.
I'm out of loop.
Yeah, honey! Honey!
Yeah.
Honey! Oh, no, I was at the front of the house with the kids.
I normally ring my partner.
Oh, that's smart.
Rather than
because you know you're open to taking the phone and the toilet as well.
Yep.
I was at the front of the house with the kids, and our bedroom is at the back of the house, and my daughter, wife was in the ensuite. And we're the only two who use the ensuite toilet. No, my daughter doesn't use that one. So,
it was obviously you who finished it.
Yeah, it was me who finished it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so shall I get the yell, honey, honey? And I'm like, what? She's like, I need toilet paper. So I go down there with a few rolls.
Mm.
And I say to her, why didn't you check it before you started?
No.
And she goes, why didn't you replace it when you finished?
Yeah.
And I said, because you're an adult.
No.
No, hear me out. It's your job as an adult, as a fully grown woman, before you park your bum down to do your business, you need to check that the facilities are set up.
Shouldn't have to.
You should.
You shouldn't have to.
Why shouldn't you?
Because it's common courtesy that if you finish something, you replace it. It's the same as if you finish the milk. You buy more, or at least tell someone to buy more. It's the same in the toilet. If you finish the roll, you replace it.
Are you not checking before you start, though?
That's not a point. That's not the point. There is absolutely...
I think it is the point.
You don't know. That's not the point. Common courtesy is to replace something that
Look,
you finish.
In our ensuite, the roll holder thing, I don't know what you call it, the thing you put the roll on, it's right there, like literally at the front of you when
doesn't
you sit
come
down.
Into it.
The first thing you notice is that it's either got toilet paper on it or it doesn't.
Yeah, doesn't matter. It's not up to the person who comes in to go to the toilet. It's up to the person who finishes the last square.
I'm perfectly happy to walk into a toilet that doesn't have toilet paper and go, all right, I've got to get toilet paper because I'm the one who needs it.
What if you're desperate?
You know who doesn't need it? The guy who just finished.
What if you're desperate and you don't have a chance to go walk back out and get more toilet paper? Sometimes I am in the situation where I've got to run to the toilet and I don't have a second to spare.
Yeah, I'm never in that situation.
Well,
I am. I've got a very strong gut.
Well, you can't expect everyone to have guts of steel like you do.
13, 12, 16, Townsville. Mm. Obviously, this has driven a wedge between my wife at home and my co-worker here opposite me. But 13, 12, 16, whose job is it to change the toilet roll? Is it the person who finishes it? Or is it the next person who comes along and sees that it's empty and goes, oh, you know what? I'm an adult with two hands.
It's nothing about being an adult. It's just common courtesy.
You say that because you're a child. Now I'm just throwing shade. I'm just throwing shade with no...
Getting personal.
Actual, yeah, getting personal. Jade on 13, 12, 16. Jade, you are first cab off the rank. Whose job is it to replace the toilet paper?
The person who uses the last square. I understand where you're coming from, though, Cliffo. At home, our toilet rolls beside us. But at work, where I work, we've got a lot of people that come and go using our toilet, the rest training company. And the last thing I want to have to do is sit down, go to the toilet and realise I need to get up and go to the admin block and get a new roll of toilet paper.
Yeah,
because then
it's not hard to say, I've finished the toilet paper, we need more.
Isn't it? It's the worst decision when you're sitting on the loo and realise there's no paper and you're like, okay, what am I going to use? What can I sacrifice?
That's why you look before you begin.
You don't always have time.
What are you eating, by the way, that is having you rushing to the toilet?
Dairy. I'm lactose intolerant.
Daddy. Oh, yeah, that's true. Emily, you're next. Whose job is it to replace the toilet roll?
The person who finishes it. Oh.
Correct.
Now, I'm gonna preface with yes. To successfully adult, one would think that you would check that there's glue roll on the holder before you sit down. However, if you empty it, you replace it. You don't put an empty cereal packet back in the cupboard for someone else to
worry
about later.
Yeah, exactly. It isn't different.
I think it is different.
Why is it different?
Because I'm not living at Coles. We don't have to replenish after every couple of hours. Do you know what I mean?
How many toilet rolls are you going through a day?
Not that many. 13, 12, 16. Hey, who's this?
Chris.
Chris. Whose job is it, man?
Man, I'm with Gabby on this one.
Gabby's got the trifecta, bro. So honestly, you don't have the thought, like, you know what I mean? No. You haven't got the brain power to go, I better check if there's toilet paper before I do
a poo. You shouldn't have to check, man. When you're in a rush.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do.
Right.
Do we take a fourth or is it wrapped up?
Well, I'm pretty sure 3 out of 3. You're never going to win this one.
Real quickly, hey, who's this?
It's Karen.
Karen. Gabby's so wrong on this, eh?
Nope.
Right on. That's all I need to hear, Karen. That's enough.
Get up with Cliffo and Gabby.
On Hit 103.1.
Yesterday was a bit of a whinge Wednesday. When I came out, with the support of yourself.
Yes.
And I said I found the worst show on television right now.
This is an Aussie love story in an hour. Welcome to The Proposal.
Okay, so if you haven't seen The Proposal...
Don't. Starters.
Essentially, it's a game show to try and find fiancés for people who are hard up in the love department. And I had a bit of a whinge about it. You kind of agreed. A couple of people around the office said, yeah, it's a pretty crap show.
It's terrible.
But I don't want to become known as this kind of half glass empty kind of guy, just like a negative Nelly around here. So I thought, in the interest of balance, today I want to bring you the best show on TV that no one seems to be talking about.
Mm.
Have you heard of a show? It's on the ABC. It's not.
No, I haven't. Continue.
Don't write stuff off just because it's on the ABC. It's a show going around at the moment. It's called Old People's Home for 4-year-olds. Now, there's no secret in this country we have a problem with old people.
Mm.
We are becoming an older society, which is costing billions of dollars a year. And, you know, there's been mad advances in medicine. So people's length of life, like people are getting more years to their life.
Yeah.
But they're not adding life to those years.
No, we tend to shove our elders into old people's homes and forget about them, which is really sad.
Well, more than half the residents of old folks' homes in Australia, more than 50% suffer from depression. Some of them spend 20 hours a day in one room.
Oh, that's horrible. What a way to live. It's not a way to live, is it?
And a lot of them come out and say, look, to be honest, we are just waiting to die.
We're bored.
Such an awful thing. Like all of them, not 90-something percent of them suffer from loneliness.
Ugh.
It's incredible. So they've come up with this concept that maybe the secret or the, I don't know, the recipe or the medicine or whatever for old people who are struggling is really, really young people. So they've made this show. It's a bit like Big Brother in that there's cameras all over this kindergarten and they've pretty much set up a kindergarten in an old folks' home.
Nice.
So you've got 4-year-olds interacting with people who are well into their 80s. This is a little grab from the show. Have a listen.
I hear little voices.
Frightening, isn't it?
Hello. Hello, little ones.
What's your name?
Tai Wai.
Kay Wai.
No, Tai Wai.
Tai Wai.
No, Tai Wai.
I have depression feelings from time to time. I can feel very low at times.
Have you got a grandma?
She's not as old as you.
That's Maureen and her little friend Michaela.
Oh, Maureen,
I think, is 84 or 85, and Michaela is 4, and they've just absolutely struck it off. And so this is the idea. Over 6 weeks, they actually gauge these old people and their fitness levels and their mental health levels as well too, and they find out if they're better at the end of the 6 weeks.
Spoiler alert, are they?
Well, we've only watched one episode.
Oh,
we're literally one episode in.
Sorry.
I think only 3 have gone to air, but after one episode, my wife noticed, she's like, look at these old people. They're getting colour in their face.
Aww.
Like they're starting to move around and stuff. And the amazing thing is it's a benefit for everyone because it's proven that younger kids who spend more time with adults, they progress and they develop better.
Mm.
And, of course, it has obvious effects on the old people because they've got a reason to get up in the morning.
Mm.
So there it is for everything. The proposal is not.
Yeah.
Old people's home for 4-year-olds is.
And let's do that. Let's just start incorporating old homes and kindergartens.
Oh,
let's merge them into one.
There's a big drive to do it. And if you're keen on doing it, if you've got kids or you know some old people who would love to spend some time with kids or whatever. Agelessplay.com.au is the mob who's trying to get this happening pretty much in every town in Australia.
How adorable.
So jump around at agelessplay.com.au.
Get up with Cliffo and Gabby on Hit 103.1.
I've always had a lot of respect for Roxy Jasenko when it comes to her business sense. Like, she's an amazing businesswoman, very successful. But when I was watching I Am Roxy last night, a new reality show in 10's pilot week, I was concerned by another aspect of her life, her mothering, when she decided to give her children coffee.
Okay, whose coffee's whose?
I'll carry mine.
I got Pixie a skim mocha because she said she was feeling tired.
Let's keep in mind her children are 8 and 5. And she has come out to say since this has gone to air that she worries that her kids will fall asleep in class and she pays high school fees. So coffee's the answer. Whoa!
But I completely agree with what you say. She is the best of the best when it comes to business and her chosen field, but her parenting is really lacking in this instance, I think.
In this particular instance, definitely.
My daughter's 5. Oh, my God.
Would you give her coffee?
Absolutely not.
No, it's a scary thought, like, isn't it?
It's not even in the realm of possibilities thoughts, yeah. Or thoughts, you know what I mean? But 13, 12, 16, should there be an actual age limit on, you know, giving kids coffee?
Yep.
A lot of calls coming through on this. Kelly, what do you think? Should there be an age limit on giving kids coffee?
Yes, I do. I've got an aunt that's absolutely addicted to coffee. Like, she will finish one, she will start another, she'll finish one, she'll definitely start another. It's definitely not something that you introduce to kids. My kids are not even allowed Coke on the best of days. They get lemonade if we go out for dinner and that's it.
Yeah, totally fair. What age do you reckon it should be for coffee?
You know what? I think at least 16.
Yeah. I'd go 16. I reckon 16 would be a fair one.
Yeah, it's too addictive. Like, I need my coffee every morning. If I don't, then
Gabby said before, she gets headaches, and I think you're right.
It's terrible.
It is an addictive substance, and we don't want to be introducing kids to a product that is addictive.
Yeah.
It's craziness. Selena, do you think there should be an age limit on coffee when it comes to kids?
Most definitely, but here's another end to that thought too. She's the adult. Put them in bed on time and then they're not tired.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, you're right. She had an excuse for that too. Do you want to hear the excuse? She said she doesn't get home from work till 7 p.m, so if she put them to bed at a normal kid's time, she'd get no time with them.
Oh, sorry. You know what? Change your life then.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
change,
you know
change
what?
Change your lifestyle.
I know it's easy to say change your life, but when you have kids, you actually do have to change your life.
Yeah.
You work around it, and there are weekends and there are mornings.
Yeah.
So get them to bed and get them up a little bit earlier and sit down and eat breakfast with them.
I know that's her excuse or that's her reason, but it's not good enough. It's not a good enough
It's one. Not good enough. Coffee's not the solution to that issue, is it?
I know, I'm a bad parent, but I'll give her a mocha. All good.